Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Everybody, and welcome to episode 148 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today I'm here with Karen Wheeler. Karen lives in Southeast Kansas and she is a urology nurse. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm so glad to be here with you today as well. So I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Okay, well, I am one of the odd ones that actually came to intermittent fasting for the health benefits.
I love that.
That's
my favorite.
although I needed the weight loss too, but I didn't even care at that point. I have a couple of autoimmune diseases. I was desperate in July of 2019. I had bought the Plant Paradox book or something. I was searching for diets for autoimmune disease. And came across Jason Fung's video, and I thought, well, this sounds weird, and how did I never hear about this before? And went on my Facebook page, because I have friends that have autoimmune, and I said, has anybody tried intermittent fasting? And a friend of mine who has a sister that has Hashimoto's, which is what I have, let me know that her sister had it, and that she was doing intermittent fasting, and she felt better. And I, that day, July the 28th, 2019, just searched it and started. 8 p.m. that night, I'm like, fine. So the next day at noon, because I thought, okay, I'm going to do 16 hours. I'm like at the stove cooking, thinking I'm going to starve to death if I don't eat at noon. And that was actually the only day that I ever did that. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is easy. This is insane. So 3 days later, I realized that I felt better. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel better. And within 6 weeks, I was like, this is insane. I I really feel better. So I just started, and I was one of the lucky ones that, like I said, I needed to lose weight, but that was not why I was doing it. I lost about 20 pounds the first couple of months. I mean, it really came off. And so that was good and motivating and everything, but I just kept going and just kept feeling better and better. And then things kind of started to change because of the Hashimoto's. I don't have any thyroid at all, so I have to use the medications. And so then I'd get too low, and then we'd have to adjust. And I'd get too low, and then we'd have to adjust. And so we've adjusted multiple times.
So let's take a step back and talk about Hashimoto's itself. You know, because a lot of listeners have probably heard of it. I mean, we really didn't hear a lot about Hashimoto's until really, would you say the past decade? It's just been everywhere. I had never heard the words. And I went through, I had a nodule on my thyroid. And so I did a lot of reading. This is in probably 2006. I was going through a lot of weight gain at the time. I gained 50 pounds in 18 months during that period of time. And the doctor found, you know, the nodule on my thyroid. So I did a lot of reading about the thyroid back then, but I don't remember seeing the word Hashimoto's everywhere, anywhere. I just might have missed it. That could just be me. But explain Hashimoto's and how it's autoimmune.
Well, basically, I've had hypothyroidism for at least 25, 30 years. I don't know. I've been on thyroid medicine forever. And nobody ever said Hashimoto's to me at all. Until I finally went to an endocrinologist who did an ultrasound. And so by the time I was actually diagnosed with Hashimoto's, my thyroid's been completely destroyed. Okay. So what it does is that it targets the thyroid and basically destroys your thyroid tissue. I have a very small nodule of thyroid tissue left, but it's not really doing anything.
So in autoimmune diseases, our body's immune response kind of goes a little crazy and it starts attacking something.
Exactly.
And, you know, depending on what it attacks, that's how your autoimmune disease will manifest itself. So for you, your body started attacking your thyroid and led to thyroid being, you know, practically gone.
Right. And I probably had it for years. I have done every diet known to man, just like you. I never did the injections because I hate shots. I don't mind giving them, but I don't take them. But I had done everything. I can remember one time going to Weight Watchers, and my starting weight at Weight Watchers was 133. Wow. And I think back now and think, what were you thinking?
And how tall are you?
Seriously, I'm 5'4". Okay. So I don't know what I was doing there. It was stupid. But I had lost 50 pounds when I turned, I said I was going to lose 50 pounds when I turned 50, which I didn't do. And so then the next year I said, okay, I'm going to lose 52 pounds by the time I turn 52, which would have been 2014. I did that. I started running. I ran a lot of 5Ks. I ran on a 10K. I ran two half marathons. And then I just kind of, everything just went bad. I don't know. I started gaining all the weight back. I think my thyroid was just getting worse and it was just craziness. And so I had gotten up to, at the point in July, I think the highest that I got was 218.
Okay. So you lost the 52 pounds by 52 by, would you say it was mainly just eat less, move more?
I did paleo. Okay, and I did, paleo. And I did paleo from like February to June because I really am not a big exercise fan. So I said, okay, when I plateau, then I'll start exercising. So in about June of 2013, then I started running. I did the like couch to 5K thing. And then I started running some 5Ks. And then in January, I ran a 10K. And then I got this ridiculous idea to do the half marathon.
But once I've never had that ridiculous idea.
Oh my gosh. It was amazing because we did the Oklahoma City Memorial one for the Oklahoma City bombing. And it was, 40 or 50,000 people. It was amazing. But yeah, it's a long ways. It's a long ways.
One time I downloaded Couch to 5K and I made it Couch to Driveway. I think I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to run.
Yeah. I did it the first time I did it on the treadmill, because I can remember the Cardinals were in the World Series and I was running my 30 minute one, my last ones that was 30 minutes. And I'm screaming at the TV going, if I can run 30 minutes, you can win the World Series.
There you go. So let's backtrack to paleo a little bit. So that I wasn't, you said it was 2013 that you
was. Yeah, because it was 2014 that I hit my goal at 52. Okay. Yeah.
What attracted you to paleo? Did you immediately start to feel better when you eliminated some of those things, like the grains?
I had friends. Yes, I had friends that did it, you know, and kind of helped me through it. And I did feel better, but it's so much work. I mean, it's just so much work. And when you're tired all the time from the Hashimoto's and everything, it's kind of like, it just got to be too much work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Restricting the foods is really difficult. How long did you stick to paleo?
Oh, probably a good 8-10 months.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. And then when I started training for the half marathon, I probably started eating a little bit more, you know, just because I was running so much. But I lost the weight, but I immediately gained it back, just immediately. And everything kind of just went downhill from there, you know, and the way I felt and everything. And like I said, I was desperate the end of July of 2019. I was like, I can't be like this. I mean, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go anywhere. You know, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed. It's just not good.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. That's really how I felt too when it was 2014 and I hit my highest. I would come home from work and take a nap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I
before I could even bear to like think about what dinner was going to be or anything like that, I was like, I just have to lay down for, you know, 30 minutes. And I would, that's so foreign to me now to even think about needing a nap.
Well, I'm still doing that a little now too, but that's a whole nother thing.
A whole different issue. Not that there's anything wrong with naps, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you have an autoimmune condition that leads to tiredness.
Yeah. Well, I've gone beyond that too, because I got to where I had lost about 50 pounds. And then last fall, I got COVID in September.
In 2020.
Yes. And then, I don't know. I mean, it just kind of, I started gaining. I gained about 10 to 15 pounds. Well, then I found out that my thyroid was off again. So we adjusted my medicine, which did make me feel better. But backing up a little bit, last February of 2020, I was diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
Oh, no.
So that kind of makes you tired too.
Leukemia.
So yes.
Explain. So this is a different kind of leukemia. You said the word chronic. Does that imply that it's something that you just live with?
Basically, it's chronic lymphocytic. So it attacks a lot of times the lymph nodes, but it also attacks the bone marrow. It is chronic. There is no no cure for it. So they don't treat you until you get bad, like until your hemoglobin really drops. So your platelets drop or your lymph nodes get so swollen that it interferes with your life. So right now it's called watch and wait, which everybody in the CLL community calls it watch, wait, and worry. But right now you're basically just hanging out with cancer running through your bones.
Oh my goodness. You know? So is this also autoimmune in nature?
I don't think
no.
so.
No. Okay. Okay.
No, but I do feel like that maybe the weight gain was my body's way of working on the leukemia instead of working on weight loss. I mean,
yeah,
that's
we
how
do
I'm,
hear that.
I'm trying to think that way because the weight gain hasn't been that bad. I mean, it's 10, 15 pounds out of 50 is not
right.
And I've lost probably about 5 of that now, but I do find that it's so much harder to drop any more weight, but I don't care at this point. I mean, I'm wearing a 10 in jeans. You know, I definitely would like to get more weight off my abdomen, but at this point, if it's working on my leukemia, you just go right ahead and do that. And I will be fine with a little extra weight for a while, you know, and hopefully this summer.
Yep. Someone that I interviewed way back, Melissa, I can't remember her episode number, but I don't know if you listened to her episode. She was the one, she had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she discovered the breast cancer after losing weight with intermittent fasting, and then something was off in her body, and she could just tell that something was off and struggling with, you know, suddenly struggling with her weight. Our bodies definitely do start focusing on other things. If there's a health condition going on, you know, she talked about her whole journey with breast cancer and how her body suddenly was focusing on that, not weight loss. And that was so important, but she could tell something was off. But also, not just that, but the coronavirus,
I'm sure,
impacted your body.
Oh, that was a thrill a minute. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was very lucky. I was very, very lucky because my son had gone to college and I guess that's where he got it. He called me one morning and said, can you check my temperature on your way to work? Because I have a fever. And of course I did. You know, you go into mom mode, not nurse mode. And, you know, he had a fever, really horrible headache. I said, well, I'm going to go on to work and you go to bed and I'm going to come back and get you and take you to the doctor. And of course they tested him and he was positive. And so of course, you know, his fever broke. So his sheets were all wet. And so I, you know, mom mode, pick
took
him up.
Care
and,
of him.
Yeah, took care of him.
Absolutely.
So by Monday night I had a fever but I was very lucky that with, especially with the leukemia, that I did not get sicker. I was on the couch for a couple of weeks with really bad body aches, headache, fever, that kind of thing. But I have a friend who's a doctor. She's actually a retired doctor, but she sent me information about what to take over the counter to help. And within a couple of days of starting zinc, vitamin C, quercetin, I already take vitamin D and melatonin. I felt better within a couple of days. Not good, you know, I didn't go back to work, but I felt better. So I think that's maybe what kept me from having, plus the intermittent fasting, kept me from getting into real trouble that I could have with the COVID. So
absolutely.
I didn't get any of the respiratory, other than just like some nasal stuff, but I didn't get any of the respiratory stuff. So we were very, very lucky.
Of yeah,
course, Cole, he's 19, so he had a headache. And
he bounced right
for
back,
two days and spent the next 2 weeks gaming. So, yeah.
His quarantine was not painful for him one single bit.
It was not. The bad thing was that he did end up withdrawing because he was in line. He's in lineman school, and that's all just so hands-on. So he ended up, it was like the first 3 weeks of school. So he just ended up withdrawing, and now he's going to go to a different program starting in the next fall. So it's been good.
These kids are just having to learn to
shift it all,
aren't they?
Oh my gosh. Just, we were lucky last year that he only had a couple of classes, and then he had a construction technology class that he had pretty much met all of his requirements.
When he was a senior in high school.
When he was a senior. Yeah. So he only had a little bit to do for the finals 9 weeks before he graduated. But some of these kids, I feel bad for the people who have little kids that are trying to do all this at home. Oh my gosh.
I can't even imagine. As a teacher, it breaks my heart to think about the teachers and the students and the little kids. They just need, their teacher. Like,
they do.
Hugging them and being in their face. And they need to see the expressions on the teacher's face. And they need to be there. And they're missing out on so much. It's heartbreaking.
Now, we've been back in school here since August. I mean, our schools never.
Yeah, our schools are back in here too. In Georgia, they have been this school year the whole time. But all in other parts of the country, they have not been.
I know. We're very lucky. I mean, we shut down the second semester or the, you know, the last 9 weeks after, they just didn't go back after spring break last year. But other than that, of course, you know, graduation was supposed to be in May. It ended up being in July, or I don't remember when it was now, but it was, it's just, it's done, you know, and we all survived it so far. So
we did, good. We did. the kids made, they made it through, even though yes. it was not the experience that they were hoping for. And yeah, it's just a lot of disappointment. And
oh yeah. I feel bad for the kids. I mean, my son's a golfer. He didn't intend to play golf in college. He probably could have, but he didn't. And I feel bad for the ones that were counting on that, counting on, you know, baseball, Absolutely. Track, those kind of things. That
I mean, they worked for it for years.
Oh my gosh. I know. Yeah. It's anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe 2022 will be better.
Well, I'm positive for 2021, but I'm an optimist.
Yeah, I try.
Before I clicked the record button, listeners don't know this, but Karen and I were talking about earlier episodes from the beginning of the pandemic when I'm like, oh, this will all be over by June. And we were like, oops.
Yep, exactly.
That did not happen. We just were not expecting this at all. So you talked about that you've regained about 10 pounds. And how much of that was, you think, related to the leukemia versus related to your body fighting off? You know, the reason I'm asking is we hear when people go through coronavirus, they will have weight gain afterwards.
Really? I hadn't actually heard that. Maybe that is
I've just seen it anecdotally. I mean, you know, when we are a big experiment in the Facebook groups. We've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of intermittent fasters. So people are like, hey, I just had coronavirus and I've gained 10 pounds. What's wrong? And just we've heard that. So
I think it was probably some of that. I think it was probably some, the fact that my thyroid was off, you know, okay. I hadn't checked it for a while. So it was not bad, but for me, it was much higher than they like for it to be. So I think some of it was that.
And I also wonder if, you know, think about coronavirus, your immune system's in overdrive trying to deal with that. I wonder if that could impact also your thyroid being off.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
It's probably. All connected.
It's mm-hmm. all connected. Everything's connected. So yeah, it just is what it is. And like I said, I'm not freaking out about it because nothing has changed with my fasting. I have zero worries about if it's, I try to go at least 20 hours and typically I'm 20 to 24, but if it's 18 and somebody's going to go to Chick-fil-A and get a salad, then I'm going to eat, you know?
Right.
So I'm not crazy about that. So I do what I rarely do. I probably once every couple of weeks do I go under 20, but usually I'm at least 20.
All right. So right now you're just kind of cruising along, sticking to your fasting and focusing on, I guess, feeling better.
Yes. That is my big thing right now is trying to feel better. I had just kind of not gotten as bad as I was when I started the fasting, obviously, but I had definitely gone down as far as how I was feeling and my stamina.
With the Hashimoto's.
Yeah. With the Hashimoto's and probably with the leukemia, it's hard to really know what's what, but.
Yeah, that's true.
I had definitely gone down, but I'm working on that. And I could tell when I changed my thyroid medicine within a few days, I was starting to feel better. So I think a lot of it had to do with that.
I think so. And having a good endocrinologist on board.
Yes. Yes. I love my endocrinologist. He's awesome. Although he did, when I walked in the first time after I had lost 40 pounds, his first statement was, "Did you get a haircut?" I said, "Seriously?" He's like, "I'm just kidding. Good job." I'm like, oh, that's my so gosh.
Well, you know, he may not be focused on that. It's like I've told this story before on the podcast. I don't know if you've heard it. But after I lost 75 pounds, yeah, I went on to lose a little bit more. But after I lost the 75 pounds, the PE coach at our school said to me one day, he's like, I don't want to be rude, but did you lose a little bit of weight? He wasn't sure.
Yeah, I remember that story. Yeah, he knew I had. He was just being ornery.
Okay.
He knew I had lost weight and he was just being ornery because he also told me that when he did my ultrasound, he said, well, I have good news and bad news. I said, okay. And he said, the good news is there's nothing abnormal on your thyroid. I said, that's good. He said, bad news is it's not there. I said, okay.
So, nothing on it because it's gone.
Yeah, because it's gone. So, but he's super. And I really like him. So that's been a big change for me.
Now, what does he think about intermittent fasting?
He loves it.
I'm glad to
hear it. He loves it. My oncologist loves it. My PCP loves it. I have all these doctors. My cardiologist loves it. Yes, they're all completely on board. My oncologist actually does it.
I love it.
So yeah, they're all on board with it. They're great.
That's what I really like to hear. And, you know, more and more we're hearing that, you know, physicians, they understand it. Ever since that 2019 New England Journal of Medicine review article came out, physicians have been more on board. You know, prior to that, not everyone had heard of it, or they're like, yeah. But the fact that all of your doctors, your endocrinologist, your oncologist, your primary care physician, your cardiologist, and the oncologist actually does it. I mean, that right there, that's a ringing endorsement. And
you're
a member of the medical community as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I tell people about it all the time. I have several friends that have started, and I've told patients, I've always said, now, this is my own personal opinion, you know, because I don't want it to be the opinion of my employers, but especially patients with IC, interstitial cystitis, I have talked to them about that, you know, because there are some people that say that have interstitial cystitis, which is also an autoimmune disease, that it has helped them. So I've talked to a lot of patients about it.
Well, you know, the one thing that we know is a benefit of intermittent fasting is that it helps your immune system overall. So if our immune system is overactive, it can, as we said already, can manifest itself in all these different autoimmune diseases. Strengthening our immune system can only help our bodies to regulate and not start attacking everything within us.
Yeah.
Because that's not what the immune system is supposed to do.
Yeah. That's why I keep thinking that maybe that's what the weight gain, and it does make sense that it could be the corona, because that does kind of seem maybe in about the right time frame, but.
Because it's inflammatory itself.
Exactly. I just kind of keep thinking that maybe it's just working on that's what's holding the leukemia in check right now. Because it's been about a year now since I was diagnosed, and it hasn't progressed significantly. I mean, my lymphs have doubled, but that's in a year. And they usually get more concerned if it doubles in like 3 months. So I think I'm doing okay.
Well, the fact that your oncologist is like, yeah, keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge
endorsement. And I wouldn't stop anyway, because there is no way I could eat. I just couldn't do it. I have a hard time, you know, because I'll eat and then I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll just leave my window open like 4 or 5 hours. But then I'm just not hungry again.
So what time is your window?
It just depends on what day it is. Yesterday it was like 10:30 because I was really craving breakfast foods. And my husband was like, hey, let's go get some sausage in there. And so, yeah, we had breakfast. But typically I try for a later in the afternoon. Sometimes at work, if I get hungry when we're eating at lunchtime, I'll, like I said, go to Chick-fil-A and get a salad or something. Mm-hmm. I work at home 2 days a week and work in the office 3 days. So I'm not there every day for lunch, but it just depends. I have zero set thing.
Okay. So you just listen to your body.
Yeah.
I'm so curious. What does a nurse do at home 2 days a week?
Well, I actually do a lot of the administrative stuff. I check all the labs and write the notes on the labs. And then the questions that people ask, you know, like the, just when people call in and they ask questions, and I do that. But I've worked for this same doctor for 25 years. So I do all of his surgery charges. Okay. And so I do all the pre-certs. And so, yeah, I got
that. Might have been a really stupid question.
No,
but
no,
forgive me. I'm not in the medical field because I'm like trying to, I'm like nursing at the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all working from home. But.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. So most of the time, even at work, I have an office and I'm kind of just, you know, I'm doing more of the administrative stuff. But then I always cover, like Thursday and Friday, I covered the nurse that was gone. And I don't even know how many catheters I put in last week. But yeah, it was busy. So it's good. It's good. I love to see the patients, and I miss doing patient care, but just the way things have worked out, this is kind of how I need to help with the job. So
absolutely. So you're very flexible, but the reason I asked what time your window was is because you say you're not usually hungry later. Because see, for me, if I eat too early, I am definitely going to be hungry later.
Yeah, I probably in the year and a half that I've been doing this, there's probably been two times that I have reopened my window.
Okay.
I mean, maybe two
listening
times.
Listening to your body.
Yeah. And I will never forget that one day I was trying to do like a 36 or 42 or something. I can't remember. And I didn't make it. And I was so disappointed. And I posted on there, I even actually posted that I was so disappointed in myself. And you answered me and you said, don't be disappointed because you listened to your body. And I'm like, absolutely. Oh, okay, yay. Well, maybe I'm not a big loser.
Glad that was helpful. Definitely not. I think that it's more of a success to listen to your body than it is to power through something that feels bad.
Yep. And that's what you told me. And I felt much better about it. Yes. And it did. You know, I don't like, I've done the ADF a little bit, but I was not really, didn't really love it. But then I was listening, I don't remember which podcast episode I was listening to the other day, but you were talking about the 500 calorie down day. And I've never really thought about doing it because I'm all in the autophagy thing. I mean, that's my main concern. And so I'm like, that's just, I don't know. But then I thought, well, maybe I should try that and just see, because there's probably days that I wouldn't eat more than 500 calories if I didn't feel like I really should.
And I want to answer that for a minute to address the idea of autophagy and the fasting length. You know, we're still learning about autophagy, but it's not like a switch that's on or off. It's more of like a sliding scale. So think about it as, you know, as you're getting deeper into the fast, it switches it up. You know, it increases autophagy. So then let's say you're just doing a regular, you know, time-restricted eating. You're going to have increased autophagy during that fast, even though you're not fasting for 36 hours. Let's say you're only doing 20, you're only doing 18. You're still going to have some increased autophagy over someone who's just eating all day long.
Right.
So if you're, you know, if you're fasting, you're having a down day with the 500 calories, you're going to be going along, your autophagy, it's increasing, you know, as you get deeper into the fast, then you eat your 500 calorie meal. Now imagine that that switches down the autophagy, but it doesn't flip it off and keep it off like forever and now it's over.
And it probably matters what you eat for that 500
exactly.
calories.
Exactly.
I mean, I eat two slices of pizza, it's probably not going to help as much.
Right. But, you know, you're going to get back, the autophagy switch is going to go back up more quickly, well, sooner, I guess, than if you had had, you know, 2,000 calories in a meal. You know, it's still a 500 calorie down day meal is energy restricted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're doing Dr. Walter Longo and his work on fasting mimicking. They're finding, you know, they're eating frequently small amounts, this fasting mimicking diet. They're finding, you know, increased autophagy through that, through these little amounts of food. So I don't want people to think, because we often hear that, you know, you're either doing the 36-hour fast, 42-hour fast because you want autophagy, or you're eating and that's not quite as good. That's kind of a mentality. And I want people to lose that thought, because if it's the reason that you don't do it because you think that it's not as good, so you're not going to try it, you could be missing out on something that really is great for you, and you're still going to have increased autophagy. Is it going to be, quote, as increased? Yeah, no, maybe not. But they're still getting great results health-wise and weight loss-wise from the fasting mimicking diet. Now, personally, I wouldn't want to do that because I would think I'd be starving all the time trying to eat little amounts of food.
I'm not sure. I may try it just see. I don't know. Like I said, sometimes I'm 24, 25, you know, more. Just kind of depends on what day it is and when I'm eating. And I don't know. I have no set thing.
I would definitely encourage you to try it and just see, because you might be surprised and find, I love this. This feels great to me. Or you might be like, no, I can't stop at 500.
So is it important to eat like the 500 calories, like, and then have a longer fast after that? I mean, does it need to be like 20 and then you eat and then 16, or does it really matter?
I don't think so. I wouldn't worry about the timing. Because, you know, think about this. You've got the period of time from start to finish. Whether the small meal is closer to one end or the other, I don't think it's going to make a giant difference, because you're going to have, you know, the fasting time on either side of it, right? One thing people ask that blows my mind, because I, you know, I'm a numbers person. A lot of people are like, well, should I stop the fasting app if I'm eating the meal? Yes, people, you should. Yeah. But some people are like, I don't want to, because I've But that does break the fast. People sometimes think that the 500 calorie meal, they're like, well, what? It doesn't break the, of course you're breaking the fast. You're eating. So my advice is yes, stop the fasting app, but then start it back again once you're finished with the meal and you're having a second fast instead of one long fast. Yeah, the 500 calorie meal is not one long fast. It's two shorter fasts with the meal in the middle or wherever you want to put it. I would recommend putting it wherever it's going to feel best for you. For me, if I were doing it, it would be closer to bedtime. So
that's
what
I'm kind of thinking. But I also am concerned about the up day because I'm kind of a my windows open game on kind of person, you know, and the worst thing, the worst thing about fasting is all the foods that you don't get to eat because you don't eat enough. I mean, like, it's like, oh my gosh, I haven't had fried chicken forever, but you know, or I'd really like to have some pizza, but you just can't fit all the food that you like in the times. So
that's true. That's why when I go on vacation, I'll often eat two meals a day just because I want to go to this restaurant and I want to have this.
Exactly.
You can't fit it all in if you're just eating once a day. And eating is pleasure. You know, I will never stop feeling that food should be pleasure. We're meant to enjoy it.
Yep. And I do.
So Me too. But yeah, just play with it and see. Don't be afraid to experiment and see what feels good to you. And if it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Right.
But the update is one of the things that does worry a lot of people because we're you know, if we've been dieting for a while, we think, yeah, but the update, you know, I've ate so much less on the down day. I need to keep eating less on the up day because I got to eat less to lose the weight. But the purpose of the up day is to let your body know that you're metabolically fine. And in the research, you know, that has been done on alternate daily fasting, they found in general, the participants ate 110% of their, quote, caloric needs on the up day.
Oh, I'm sure I get that.
So they were overeating. You know, the up days, they were overeating. And so instead of worrying, oh, gosh, I'm going to overeat and ruin everything, you're supposed to overeat. Now, they didn't eat 200% of their caloric needs, you know. But it's okay to eat more. I also think that when we become intermittent fasters, we forget how much someone else is eating all day if they added it all up. So what feels like, you know, like you ate a lot really isn't compared to how you ate in the past.
Exactly. Yeah. I was really kind of worried about the people that make cheese puffs when I first started fasting because I thought, you know, those people need jobs and
you're going to dramatically cut down the consumption of cheese puffs.
Exactly. But I think they're doing okay. So
probably so. Because you know what? There's still a lot of people.
There's still a lot of people eating cheese puffs.
Cheese puffs. That is one food. Now, I don't buy the, you know, the standard ones anymore. But yeah, they have organic different types of cheese puffs that I'll buy. But I still can't just eat one of those. That's something that can't come in my house. Like that Pirate's Booty, I think, is one of the – do you ever had that one?
Uh-uh.
It's a brand of a cheese puff kind of thing.
Oh, might have to check that out.
I can eat like an entire bag of that.
My big thing is tortilla chips and avocado salsa.
Ooh. Yeah. I really like crunchy things.
Yeah, I do too.
Crunchy, salty things.
Although I'm better now because I was listening to a podcast and you were talking about checking the ingredients and I was buying, somebody was telling me about how good the Tostitos avocado salsa was. And so I went and was going to get some. And then I looked at the ingredients on that versus the, I think it's holy guacamole or something like that I buy. And I'm like, no.
Right.
No.
It really is.
We're
going to
go with the one that says tomatoes and vinegar and salt and pepper.
Just something as simple as that. You know, and I'm still fighting this battle a little bit with my husband because he likes to do the grocery shopping. I'm working at home and I'd rather just stay home, I've realized. So he's like, you know, I send him out to get something and he just tends to look for price rather than reading the ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yes, but this one is so cheap. I'm like, look, and I'll read it to him. And he's a chemist. He's an organic chemist. He has a PhD. You'd think he'd understand. But it's starting to sink in. You know, he was buying this chicken salad at Costco. And he was eating it for lunch, like making these chicken salad sandwiches. He's like, I don't think this is good. This is making me feel bad. So I started reading the ingredients to him. He's like, oh, my God. I'm like, well, just read the ingredients. It's not that hard.
Exactly. It does take a lot longer, but yeah.
It does. And you're going to pay more.
Yes.
And that's the part that's hard for him, because he's like, well, I would like to buy. He probably would want to buy the cheap one. But it's cheap because the ingredients are cheap.
Exactly.
And they're not real food. I'm working on a new book. I don't know if by the time your episode comes out, if I will have announced the topic of the book, but maybe not. But I'm doing a lot of research into the food industry. And it's really, I'm finding some things that are, even for me, I'm like, wow.
Terrifying.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, like, for example, the big food companies and how much money they make, and they're not selling us real food.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I watched that Netflix show the other day, that the sugar show or something, was it called? It was kind of dumb.
Is that what it's called? That sugar film?
I can't remember. It's kind of dumb in places, but
I don't think I've watched it.
But it was interesting. It was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sugar beets are a big crop in the United States, and then corn syrup. And
Oh, yeah.
It's really in everything. So you have to read those labels, and you have to, I mean, we have to pay more for our food.
Yep. But I'm good with that as long as it tastes good. And you know,
exactly.
Not that I don't ever eat a cheese puff, but, you know.
Well, they're just so darn crunchy and delicious.
They are.
So you don't do paleo anymore. So you eat all the foods now.
I do. I try to not eat as much of the gluten stuff, because I'm fairly certain that I have some gluten intolerance.
And that's not very common with Hashimoto's.
Yes.
We hear that with Hashimoto's, gluten tends to be problematic.
Yeah. So I try. I have noticed some increased problems with dairy a little bit, especially ice cream. But
we hear that also with Hashimoto's.
Sometimes,
right?
I still eat ice cream if I want to. So, you know, I try to eat better. I do eat better. I mean, absolutely eat better than I did before. But if it's going to be hard, it's just not worth it to me. I'm 59 years old. So I'm kind of like, you know, I just, you know, I'm 59. I have leukemia. So it's like, I don't really want to, you know, torture myself. So
I get it.
But I also want to feel good. So,
you know, what we said before, pleasure is important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've faced increasing health challenges overall throughout this experience. What are your biggest non-scale victories, would you say?
Non-scale, probably my skin, for sure. Although I did wake up with this big zit this morning. But at least nobody else can see it but you. Definitely the skin, just the overall feeling better. One day I was reading, I was on the Facebook page, and somebody said something about their elbows and their feet. And apparently I had not checked my elbows and my feet. I'm like, oh,
feeling
my gosh. Yeah, they're smooth.
The skin, the rough skin.
Before.
That's one that we hear, and we hear that a lot. And then you realize, oh, my gosh, that's also true for me.
Exactly. Exactly. So I truly think that the fasting helped me deal with the whole leukemia thing better than I might have if I wasn't doing it, because I seem a little more chill, you know, than before.
Your mood.
Yeah.
It's helped your mood.
Yeah. I mean, not like I was a crazy person before, but I think it definitely has helped just how I react to things some days.
Right.
Some days.
And you also, you know, being a nurse and understanding the science of intermittent fasting and what's happening in your body, you know that your body is able to do important work.
Yes.
In that pause that you take from eating every day. And you know that what you're doing with fasting is supporting your overall health.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I absolutely think that it's made a difference in how the leukemia has progressed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I bet that it has.
I'm going
absolutely.
With that anyway.
Me too. Yeah, sometimes people will ask, it's impossible to know because it's a variable we can't separate. You know, we can't go back in the timeline and have Karen who doesn't fast and compare her to Karen who does fast. So
exactly. But
we can do is look at the markers.
Exactly. But it has definitely been a positive. I mean, I just, of all the things I have done, I cannot even imagine how I didn't know about it, because I honest to gosh, went to Thanksgiving dinner one year and took a Nutrisystem Thanksgiving dinner frozen thing with me. I mean, how bad is that? That is ridiculous.
Well, you've heard my story of taking my frozen spaghetti, right?
I think it was
in Delayed on Tonight. I mean, they still make fun of me for that. It was Michelina's. And it was spaghetti with the tomato sauce, and it had 220 calories. I remember how it smelled when you microwaved it. I ate that was one of my go-to dishes. But everybody else was having spaghetti. I had my 220 calorie.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
It's just.
But I thought it made perfect sense to me. I'm like, I am on a diet. I am eating this spaghetti.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was fat-free, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I did the whole fat-free, the whole sugar-free, the whole...
Taste-free.
Yes. Yes. The phentermine, all of those things.
Oh,
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's... Yeah. Were you successful with that one? I did that one on and off for years, the diet pills. I got them from the doctor. They must be good.
I was, but I wasn't really overweight then. I probably weighed 145, 150, but then later had some atrial fibrillation problems that I think probably
interesting. Now, here's a question. Just right after you quit taking it, did you find your weight just went crazy?
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's for me. That, you know, when I mentioned earlier that I gained 50 pounds in a year and a half, that was right after stopping the phentermine.
Yes.
You know, I'd been taking it off and on for years. And as long as I continued to go back to it, I was maintaining my weight. I was about a size 6 during that period of time. And as long as I kept taking it, but I felt so bad.
Yep.
And I was like, this is not good for me. I'm not sleeping. I feel so bad. I'm just going to stop taking it. I started to get worried about, you know, this can't be good long term. And that was when my weight skyrocketed. So I think that really damaged my metabolism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hate when I see that listed on patients' med list.
Yeah. And sometimes people will say, you know, oh, I'm starting intermittent fasting and my doctor is prescribing this appetite suppressant to go along with it. I'm like, no,
you don't need that.
You don't. There's nothing better to suppress your appetite than the clean fast.
Yes.
But it does it naturally because you're well fueled from your fat stores.
Yes. I really, that first day, like I said, I was at the stove at noon. But beyond that, I have never really struggled. But like I said, I haven't like sat there and waited for my timer to go off. I don't freak out. I mean, the other day I started eating at like 23:59 or something. I'm like, I don't care if it says 24.
It's not, oh, I love
nobody's
that.
Gonna look at it. I'm not gonna post it anywhere. It only matters what, you know, how I feel about it. So I do it because I can't ever remember what time I ate. So I do keep track of it, but I don't focus on it at all.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
And there's really no wrong answer there. You know, somebody might find that mental challenge of, I'm going to wait one more second.
Exactly.
Because I
And
that makes them feel successful, and that's okay too.
Yep. Versus, absolutely.
You know, I'm just going to eat now. Or
yeah.
There's no wrong way to approach it.
It's ready and I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. So yeah. I don't freak out about it.
And then there's the people who are like, my fasting app is the clock.
Oh, and that, you know, I applaud people that can do that. I just can't remember. You know, I don't know. But it's not like because a lot of times I'll say, oh, I'm going to leave my window open, you know, 5 or 6 hours. And then I don't get hungry again. And so I haven't started it again. So I just go back and edit it. You know, it's like whatever time I finished eating is what time I start it. And I don't freak out about it.
It can be such a valuable tool, you know, especially for people who may be struggling. You know, if you're struggling with weight loss, you're not seeing, you know, what you expect to happen. You feel like you're doing a good job, but you're not using an app. Sometimes those people may be surprised if they implement an app, that they're maybe not fasting as long as they think they are.
Exactly.
We've seen that happen. They're like, well, I've been really doing a great job, or I thought I had. Then I started tracking and I realized I was averaging 17 hours for fast. And I'm like, well, there you go. That could be why you're not losing the weight. So it just can be that accountability piece that helps people really get honest with what they're doing.
And I think for me, part of it is that I'm not focused on the weight loss. I mean, I absolutely would love to lose another 30 pounds, 40 even. But if I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. If my leukemia stays in check, I'm okay weighing 167 or whatever. You know, I did get a Shape-a scale. I have snuck onto my scale a couple of times, my regular scale. But the very first day on the Shape-a, it was gray. I'm like, oh my God.
After you calibrated, you got the gray.
Yeah. But then it went
gray, like, meaning slow weight
gain. Exactly. Then it went green like for 3 or 4 days, and then it went teal for like 5 or 6 days.
Awesome. So for anyone who hasn't heard me talk about the Shape-a scale, go to jenstevens.com/Shape-a and read about it. I really love mine. And, you know, I didn't weigh on a scale of any kind for years in there from, 2017 until late 2020 when I got the Shape-a scale. But what's so interesting has been getting on it every day and seeing my color trend, of course, not seeing the number. But I have found, I've just noticed, I will go light gray for a little while. Then I go back to green for a little while. Then I have teal for a little while. Then I see blue. Then I go back to gray. And then my weight, I think if you looked at it as like a curve, it would just be a gently undulating up and down around a goal range. It's just very interesting to see it.
Right.
Like I have the gray, then I have the teal, then I have the green, then I have the gray. And it just keeps happening. But what's funny is, you know, you try to find the cause and effect. You're like, what did I do differently? And I'm like, not really anything.
Mine will typically be a higher sodium something. You know, if I've had soup or if I've had something that's saltier, I can give 3-4 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
Easy. So I think that's what mine will typically do. But I've been happy with it. I mean, I had the one gray, that's it. And I've either been green or teal. I have not yet seen blue, but, you know, it might still happen.
I had blue recently. I just had a little stint of blue. And what's funny is, again, I'd shifted my window. I was doing a little earlier, eating my main meal early. And that was feeling really good to me. I've now since stopped doing that because I realized it was making my sleep all out of whack and wanting it. It kind of shifted my circadian rhythm.
Oh,
That I was. So anyone who heard me say I was trying it, well, I'm not doing it anymore because it was making me want to go to bed really early. And then I was waking up really early. It's like shifted everything.
But I do wake up really early because I get up at 5. Well, I get up at 5:30 to go to work.
Me too. So 5:30 is my normal. But when I'm saying it was making me wake up early, I mean like 3. I mean, I was like waking up, like really ready to get up. And it was shifting my window earlier and the main meal earlier. My body was like, okay, not doing that.
It's
but later, a later window feels better for me in the long run. I'm back to that. But when I shifted it, I did see some blue on the Shape-a scale.
Mm-hmm.
And but even with before I shifted it back, I was seeing a little gray. But it's just a normal pattern for me and not freaking out.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest thing is just the not freaking out thing. You know, and I totally get it for the people that are doing it for the weight loss because I've done so many things for the weight loss. And I totally get that I've been doing this 2 weeks and I haven't lost any weight. I totally get that.
Me too.
But it's just hard when you know good things are going on and you just gotta hang in there.
Well, and that's the thing. I've talked about this before. I'm sure you've heard me say it. People will say, am I just somebody that intermittent fasting doesn't work for? And I'm like, well, the answer to that is no. Intermittent fasting is working for you. The question of will intermittent fasting work for weight loss for you is a different question. And so we have to disconnect the two. Even if intermittent fasting is not the only tool for weight loss that your body needs, it's doing something positive in your body. And so instead of being really sad, I mean, because I know it's really disappointing to see other people who change nothing about what they're eating. They just adopt intermittent fasting. Boom, the weight falls off. They're at their ideal weight. Every one of us wants to be that person.
And honestly, that's how I was. I dropped 40 pounds in about 6 months and then it just stopped, you know.
And you got leukemia or you discovered that you had it.
Exactly. But I remember thinking when I booked this, which was like last June, I remember thinking, okay, my podcast then will be totally different than it is now because I'll probably be at goal. Well, no.
And you're not.
I'm not. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
Well, you've got so much more of the story.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. And I think the older you get, I mean, I'm like I said, I just turned 59. I think you start realizing what's kind of really important, what's really not.
Exactly.
You know, I want to be healthier.
I think you're right. You know, I'm 51 and I feel really good in my body. I am fortunate that my body has agreed that this is a very good weight maintenance range for me. I'm, you know, wearing my size zero jeans today and they feel great. And that's what my body decided. But, you know, what if my body had decided a 10 was where I wanted to be? That's what my body decided. And I could either fight it or I could, appreciate that.
Exactly.
So there was a lot of years that I would have been grateful for my body feeling like a 10 was where it wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly.
The years that I was pushing a 16W and really needed an 18.
That's where I was.
A 10 sounded really good to me.
Yes, exactly. Of course, then, you know, I'm also the person that went to Weight Watchers at 133. So there's obviously some issues there.
Well, you know, our whole culture teaches us that we're supposed to have, you know, these flat abs and look like a 12-year-old boy. And I don't think so. Even when I was 12, I don't think my abs looked like that.
No, I'm pretty sure mine didn't either. No.
As soon as I hit puberty, boom, I was squishy.
Yeah, me too. It's funny, though, because like my son, he doesn't fast, but he is one of these people that if he's not hungry, I don't care if you put his favorite food in the whole world in front of him, he's not going to eat it.
Yeah.
If he's hungry, he's starving. But if he's not, then he's not, you know. And I'm like, I wish I could be that way. Cause like yesterday,
Chad's like that.
I made oatmeal cookies yesterday and it's like, why did I do that? Cause I wasn't hungry, but I still had some.
Yeah. And then they call to me. Those cookies, I've realized cookies do that. Well, they're also crunchy. I like crunchy things.
Yeah. Well, these are crunchy on the outside. To me. These are crunchy on the edges and soft on the inside. So
are they oatmeal raisin? Is that
No, I don't like raisins. They're just plain oatmeal.
See, I love oatmeal raisin.
Yeah. They're just oatmeal, but they were pretty good. So, yeah. It was cold and, you know.
And they're so soothing.
That's okay.
It is okay. It is okay because we're supposed to be soothed by food and enjoy food and not beat ourselves up over it.
Exactly.
Yep. So you do tell a lot of people about intermittent fasting. So who close to you have you gotten started?
Several of my friends, close friends. And then it's funny because one of the girls I work with is like a lifetime Weight Watchers member. And when I first started this, she's just, you know, No, you should not be doing that, you know, and all this. And then she started last January and she's lost 50 pounds, you know, and she's, so it's awesome. But
see, and that's the part that's so amazing. She's a lifetime Weight Watchers member, kept going back, but yet still needed to lose 50 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that, you know, that just lets you know how, you know, those diet programs have just let us down.
They have. They really, really have. And it's very sad. And
we blame ourselves.
Yeah. But you start realizing it's all about the money and it's all about, you know. But the important thing is I do see so much more intermittent fasting stuff. Even like the, doesn't Weight Watchers now have an intermittent fasting thing?
I don't know. Are they calling it that?
Somebody does.
I feel like Jenny Craig might have.
Maybe.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Weight Watchers did. I mean, they totally should.
Yeah.
If I was running Weight Watchers, I would do that.
Yeah. Some of those bigger ones do. But I talked to, I had my computer crash the other day. I had to buy a new computer and I went to Walmart because that's the only place here in town to get one. And I don't even know why I got to talking to the guy about it, you know.
Right.
So he's like writing down your book and I'm telling him, you know, all about it. And, you know, I guess we were talking about holistic medicine or something.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know why I was at 7:15 in the morning. I'm talking to the Walmart guy about this. But, you know, he was really interested in it. And he's a big guy. And I'm just like, whatever. I say, you know, it's not everybody's thing. But for me, it helped. And I just tell whoever I can tell. So, yeah,
I love
it's
it.
Been good.
Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I think that you need to be flexible. And I think that we've all done so many diets that were so absolute. This is what you eat. This is when you eat it and you don't eat this. And it's kind of like, it's kind of embarrassing to me to say, but when I think I first read the obesity code before I read Delay, Don't Deny, but I was in the Facebook group, the Delay, Don't Deny. And this was, I think when I not too long after I started, you got to like 100,000 members. Yeah. So
we hit that. I think we hit it in June of 19.
Yeah. Okay. So it might have been 125 then or so. It was probably right around 100 that you hit when I first started.
That's exactly right.
And I was reading the obesity code, and in there, Jason Fung says you can have a little bit of cream in your coffee. Mm. And so I'm so embarrassed. I even took like a picture of it and said, well, how come this says, because you're so used to those diets that's absolute, you know, every single rule is absolute. And you said, well, you answered me. And I was like, so embarrassed. And so I was like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? That was so stupid. But that's the big thing is it's not absolute. It is what one person, you know, there are so many people that can do this and eat pizza and can eat whatever they want. And there are people that don't. You just need to do what feels right for you and not get caught up in the rules. Because the only rule is clean, fast. Exactly.
That's it. The only rule is fast, clean, exactly. and then figure out the eating window for yourself.
That is the
thing. I do think that the clean fast makes a difference. You know, I'm pretty sure Jason Fung probably, you know, would fast clean if you were trying to.
And I probably thought I was going to die without cream in my coffee because I hated it. I'm going to say I hated it for a little while, but I'm fine with it now. But I think I was just so caught up in that rules. Everything has to be, this is the rule. And, you know, and I couldn't understand why you were both saying intermittent fasting, but yet had two different rules. Because he says,
Lord, I wish it was fun to have cream. I'd be having it.
I actually did that. I actually put some in one time during my window, and I'm like, ew. It tastes kind of greasy or something. So
it's not as good. This has ruined the coffee. You have to apologize to the coffee and start again.
One day I was going to drive through Brahms because I drive right by Brahms on the way home from work about halfway. I drive an hour and a half, so about halfway home. And I thought, I had to get an ice cream cone. And then I thought, no, I got strawberries and grapes in the refrigerator. That sounds better. And then I was like, oh, my God, who am I?
Who am I?
What happened?
Well, so. Karen, I have really enjoyed talking to you today. And thank you so much. And please keep us posted with how you're doing. And
I will. Yeah, I get on there.
Fingers crossed that your leukemia stays in. They're not using the word remission, right? That's not the right word.
No, it's just called watch and wait. I'm actually in the stage where you don't really treat yet. That's what I hate about this is that you know it's there and you know it's all, you know, through your lymph nodes and your blood and your bone marrow, but
there's nothing to do.
There's nothing to do until you get sick, and which is so counter. It's just the opposite of every other cancer. So,
right.
But since there is no actual cure for it, then you can get to what they call MRD, minimal residual disease, with treatments. And there's tons of treatments and there's tons of new treatments. So it's not the worst thing you can have for sure.
Well, after this episode comes out, there are going to be tens of thousands of people who want to hear your follow-up. So keep us posted.
I absolutely will. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.